Let us look to the Lord. Jehovah God, we ask now but one thing. Lord, we would see Jesus. We pray now that by Your Spirit You would work in our hearts and minds. You would draw us into Your presence in such a way that we in fact do see Him. But particularly as He offers Himself to us at His table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's exam time. We'll work from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Join me in reading and hearing God's Word. We'll put in at verse 17 through 22, and then we'll skip over and finish 27 through 34. So hear now the Word of God. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And continuing on from verse 27, and therefore whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Thus far the Word of God. Our focus for now is going to be verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This business of examine, as it's set out here, has the idea that we are to inquire, we are to explore and evaluate, in this case, ourselves, our circumstances, our condition, but do it in such a way that the end result is approval. And the particular focus is in verse 29. As I examine myself, can I, do I, properly discern the body? And that's the issue that we have in front of us. To set the stage for this, there's a number of things that need to be cleared away. We need to go back particularly to chapter 10. Where Paul really is critical of the Corinthians. He's critical of their behavior. He's critical of their attitude. He's critical of their conduct. And so it's the conduct of the Corinthians, or if you would, more properly, the misconduct of the Corinthians, that is the focus of Paul's criticism. Back in chapter 11, verses 20 through 22, he emphasizes this. He says, therefore, when you get together, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, had you been in Corinth and had you talked to those people, they would have said, we have come together for table fellowship. We have come together for the Lord's Supper. And Paul here says, what I see is when you do this, you do not come to eat the Lord's Supper. A little insight into this, a little helpful understanding can be found by an Old Testament parallel situation. Those folk in the Old Testament had so wandered away, if you will, from what God intended in the sacrificial system. They had so perverted that sacrificial system that God simply says, this is no longer my sacrifice. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the criticism of God of these Old Testament people as Isaiah chastises them for their abuse of the Old Testament sacrificial system. To what purpose then, beginning at verse 11, chapter 1 of Isaiah, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Now look at verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They're a trouble to me and I'm weary of bearing them. You see, they have gotten so far off the mark that God looks at them and says, what you're doing is nowhere near what I have called of you. And therefore, these are your new moons. These are your feasts. These are your sacrifices. Don't say they're mine. Don't say you're doing my will as you come to my courts with your offerings and sacrifice. And that's pretty much what Paul is doing here to the Corinthians. Verse 20, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're doing your own thing. You're doing your own thing. And that's the point at which Paul, as you will, pokes the barb into their side. For that attitude, for that misconduct, for, you see, in verse 21, for eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk. The table of the Lord is supposed to be the point of gathering together. Not as individuals, but as the body of Christ coming together and participating together, sharing together. And this is nowhere evident in the conduct of the Corinthian church. And so, jumping ahead to verse 27, Paul accuses them, charges them with this. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, the old King James says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily. The newer translations bring out more correctly the idea that unworthy is an adverb, not an adjective. Unworthy is an adverb. It is, then, how we approach this. What are our actions? How ought we come to this table? What ought we to have done in preparation for this coming together in the presence of the Lord and participating in Him, with Him? Now, make this distinction. The idea of merit, that is, do I merit the opportunity to sup with the Lord, is nowhere before us. Nowhere before us. Because if we're honest with each other, none of us is worthy to come into the presence of the Lord in close communion and close fellowship with Him. Any opportunity to come to Him and be with Him and fellowship with Him is because He has extended Himself to us out of grace and love and mercy, not because He sees in us some redeeming merit or quality to say, boy, I'd be lucky to go sit with that guy or that person. So that's not the issue. Unworthy is an adverb. What's missing in the Corinthian attitude, in the Corinthian approach? If we go back to chapter 10, we find two of the titles or names for this which we're about to participate in chapter 10 at verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so there is one of the names of this which we're about to celebrate. We speak of communion, the communion service. And that's derived then from this, which Paul says at this point in chapter 10. And that word has a depth that we cannot begin to explore in a homily or in a sermon. It takes real study, because the Greek word is koinonia. And the core idea of that is participation together. Participation together. So when we talk about communion and the service of communion, we're talking about us doing something in such a way that we're doing it with the Lord. We're in this together. So that's one point. Jump down, if you will, then, from 16 to 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And so there we find a second name, if you will, for this. This is the Lord's table. So we talk about having communion, we talk about the Lord's table, and then in chapter 11, Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. There's a third title or name for this. So at the communion service, we come to the Lord's table, it's for the purpose of having supper with the Lord. Now what's inferred in all of this, what's implied but not openly stated, is this. Who is the host of that in which we're about to engage? Jesus Christ is the host. It's His table. He has brought to that table or set out in on this table the provisions for us to have supper with Him. And in that setting, it's supposed to be an intimate, close togetherness, which we call communion. And so it's that background under which we are to move forward then and undertake this examination of ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We're to examine ourselves, first of all, as regards, do we really understand what it is to say this is the Lord's table hosted by Christ, supplied by Christ, and offered for our fellowship with Him? Do we really understand that? Have we meditated on that idea in preparation to coming? That's a large part of this examination of self. Now, the other part relates to unworthiness in the sense of your relationship to Christ. To come in a worthy manner and have real communion with Him, you must first of all be in Him. You must understand what it is when He talks about His body offered for us. When He talks about His blood shed for us. That is only understood and appreciated if you have a personal relationship with Him brought about by the indwelling operation of the Holy Spirit upon you. And so we call upon the Lord to examine us as we examine ourselves. Psalm 139, the closing stanza, dealt with that issue. It was the psalmist calling out to the Lord, examine me. Help me to know where I stand with you. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, speaks of this and challenges the readers. Again, this is still the Corinthians, but at a later time. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you know that? Can you assert, yes, I own Christ. Christ is my only hope. I have taken Him as Savior. His shed blood, His broken body is what counts for my righteousness before God. See, that's what Paul is saying here. Don't be shy about this. Do this meditate on this. Do this in prayer. Examine yourself. And this is a dangerous proposition because we're conceited. Let's face it. You know, we think more of ourselves than we ought to. We look for the good things and kind of, no, you know, I don't do that. I'm above that. Well, are you? Am I? You know, the Word of God is that by which you examine yourself. It is reliable. It is a valid proof test of where you stand. And so it behooves us to be in the Word, meditate upon it, draw upon it, examine ourselves in terms of what it says about me. And if I am persuaded that I do indeed have a relationship with the Lord where He would be willing to invite me to come sup with Him, then I can come boldly. Do I lack? Of course I lack. Am I weak? Of course I'm weak. But part of the benefit of coming and supping with Him is He strengthens us. He adds to our faith. He causes us to grow in our love for Him. Now it's interesting as we go through this beginning in 24, and that portion will be read to you later, but the body is spoken of, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ is spoken of as separate entities and addressed separately. Then if you look in verse 27, they're brought together. Verse 27 says, if you eat or drink in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. They're combined as a unit then. And as you come down to finally verse 29, it's compressed even further, and it says, discern the Lord's body. And so the distinct separate elements are brought together and finally compressed into that one thing. Do we discern the Lord's body? And understand by that it is everything involved in the atoning work of Christ that is now the focus. His shed blood, His broken body, His work on the cross, His death, we died with Him. His resurrection, we were raised up with Him. He is seated in the heavenlies. He has raised us up to sit with Him in the heavenlies. And it is from that vantage point and that perspective that I come to sup with Him as He sups with me. The application is visibly before you. If you are in Christ, if you understand that at this next few moments you will be participating not only with each other but with Him as the host. He's offering that food which is essential for your life. He's offering that fellowship which binds us together in bonds of love that are stronger than the whole world can imagine. Come, let us in a worthy manner celebrate together. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for Your tremendous love for us, for Your work for us on our behalf. Lord, You have done that which we could never, ever attempt, much less accomplish. And so give us to see You fully, completely. Lord, by Your Spirit, lift us up and draw us into Your courts as we celebrate communion with You. In Christ's name we pray.